following is a paid program and does not necessarily reflect the opinions of the staff or management of Visionary Related Entertainment.
Good morning. It's 7:06, Monday, September the 9th, the first Monday of the football season. Yay!
Yay!
And it's time now for Creating Mollytopia with Ori Kobelman and his special guest, Cindy Paulus.
Thanks, Gary. First, I would like to profusely thank Cindy Paulus for co-hosting this show. To create Mollytopia, each of us has to up-level the games we're playing. With the start of the football season, allow me to brag. John Harbaugh, the coach of the Baltimore Ravens, who won last January's Super Bowl, was on my ninth grade football team in 1976. He was second string quarterback, and I was fourth string. I switched to playing tennis and became a State of Michigan high school doubles champion in 1980. After that, I escaped to college in California at Stanford University, where John Elway was a classmate of mine. I used to see him studying at the library. He amazed us on the field as Stanford's quarterback, including, unfortunately, losing the game with the famous The Play, which involved five laterals in which Berkeley won in the last few seconds. The trombone player that was hit lived in my dorm. After John Elway graduated, he went on to the National Football League, where he won a couple of Super Bowls with the Denver Broncos, including being named MVP, or Most Valuable Player. Now he's involved in a few businesses, including owning car dealerships and being a vice president of the Broncos. The name of the show again is Up-Level Your Game. Here's a few games most of us play in life. Survival and making money is probably the most common. Second is somewhat related, is career creation and climbing the ladder of success. Another one is being liked, etc. Cindy, what are the names, some of the things you've done to up-level the games you play?
Well, first of all, I have to say, it's nice being here. And I'm impressed. I mean, I really... Ori, when I think of you, I don't think of like a football player. I mean, it's because Ori, you know, you're such a peaceful kind of. You're not the kind of guy I would imagine on a football field. So, it's kind of like I'm adjusting my mind seeing you in a football uniform. But it is good to be here, and it's kind of interesting Monday morning quarterbacking here. But I do like games. My favorite game is the God game because I kind of. Always feel I happen to have a competitive streak in me, and
we all do.
Well, yeah, and part of me thinks that is good for the work I do, because I do work and I do sales, and you know, I think I compete against myself the most. I mean, because I'm setting myself with connection to God, I kind of think of God as my manager and coach. But I'm also an Aquarius, and I love it when everyone wins. So that makes it hard, but you know, because you have to kind of think of the over game, because you know, again, like in you're in a team, you're a team member.
Right.
It's not you winning when you're in a team; it's the team wins, right? So you know, you have to look at it when in any job, I think, where you're competitive. And I've seen this happen right here at the station and other places. Sometimes someone wants something really bad, and they go after it. And then, you know, that I kind of always want to remind them, well, gosh, if the other person gets it in the station, it's good for the whole team. But when you're really in a competitive mode, it's hard to forget that. Again, if I were to take it to the God level or the world level, you know, just like what's happening in the world with what's going on right now, it's like we're playing Team United States, you know. And we want our team to win, but do we really win if we lose the overall game, right?
Boy, there's a lot of discussions among my friends in terms of what people think we should do about Syria.
No, it's on everyone. I told you last week it's going to be in our face.
And there's an example you brought up, which I just this morning wrote a note to myself to talk about the game of brute force versus soul force.
I like that.
Something that was mentioned by Martin Luther King. I didn't come up with it, but the question is, even so, even if you're trying to use soul force, Maui and Mauitopia is one thing, but the rest of the world is another thing.
But it's really the same thing, and that's what's interesting, because it is the same thing. Really, in energy, it's all one. I mean, the energy and the atoms are all in all of us, and we're all from the same creative force, so it is really all one.
Yeah, but then how do you explain Hitler in World War II?
because it is all one. There's so many unbelievable variations of the theme. I mean, you have energy manifesting on this unbelievable level that of extremes like we can't even comprehend. It's an infinite level of manifestation.
Which hopefully somebody understands all that.
And to get it back down to
and
it.
Maybe that's the
game. I love, because I was, when you told me, we talked briefly yesterday, and I thought about how, even when Nikoi Kaiko was playing here, I'd like to go watch them. And I felt guilty, but I was kind of sending them energy and praying that they'd win. I want you to win. And I'm going, but is that really right to use my force to make them do that?
Yes.
Okay.
And I was surprised how proud I was of the team. And I did go out to watch them, and I wanted Maui to win, which they did.
Yeah, but when we're playing team games, it is you're taking sides, and then by the meaning of that, you're rooting for your own interests, right?
And somebody wins, but somebody has to lose too.
Right. I love when you tell me about this. I love some of the quotes that have come up from sports people. Wayne Gretzky had a couple of great ones. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
That's true.
Right? And you don't look where the puck is going. You don't look where the puck is. You look where it's going to be. And I think we can put that to our own state right now that we're in the country. I mean, we don't say right now, well, this is the situation that happened. It's where is it going to be is so important. If we look at the actions we take and the consequences.
Which, like I said, again, there are differences of opinions about what the consequences will be.
And that's why it's a fascinating game.
Right.
I mean, the game of life is a fascinating game. If we were to, I forget that movie, but there was a movie where they were looking down, and remember they were on the higher level and they let everyone work out their aggressions through their sports? It was on a higher, more advanced science fiction movie, but they let everyone, they figured that the human race needed to really get out all these aggressions, so they took it to the highest level. I mean, even the gladiators.
Right.
I mean, right? I mean,
I like the movie recently, Elysium, where evolved people got off the planet and lived in space.
I haven't seen
that. Oh, it was really good with Matt Damon. Anyways, let me talk about a game I'd like to play or not play, which is to become my authentic self, which Dr. Dreaming Bear talked a lot about. To do what I was born to do, which is to help create Mauitopia, which, of course, is the name of the show. As a reminder, Mauitopia will be an ideal utopian society of the future. A first-of-its-kind place in the world on the scale of over 100,000 people, where, thanks to technology, all of us have our survival needs met of food, clothing, and shelter, while pursuing our individual self-actualization. A place where we'd find true happiness by each contributing our unique gifts to the community. A place where we can all coexist in peace and harmony with no crime, and where we can all help each other grow and succeed. Mauitopia's free market economics will be based on regulated capitalism and make the island a real paradise, Maui truly no ka'oi. In Mauitopia, we all win as we serve the rest of the world as a model for the society of the future. Now, is that playing a game?
As Yogi Berra said, the future ain't what it used to be.
How righty, I like that. I like the song. The future's so bright, I got to wear shades.
I mean, we are, you know, people who have found Maui, and people who come here, and the reason they still want to come to Maui is there's an energy here. There's the aloha spirit, and there's more. There is a mana. There is an energy here. You know, and it is an energy. Some people say, oh, I want to come recharge my batteries, right? Well, what are you doing when you're recharging your battery? You're taking in that good energy, right? And Mauitopia kind of, I think, furthers having that good energy for everyone, you know, if we're all on the same team. But not everyone's on the team, you know, for that, you know. So, you know, it's like, okay, who's our coach, you know? So if we're on this team game, you know, then, you know, I see you as the coach for Mauitopia. That's why you want to take the time and write the book and give it away for free, because the book is free for people, right?
Correct, at mauitopia.org. And I ran for mayor, as you know, 3 years ago, hoping to lead the effort on for the whole society. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to run again in a couple of years.
Are you really?
Yeah, of course.
Oh.
I don't know if it's the best way to create Mauitopia, but it's the best way I've figured out.
Okay, so then you are in politics. So, you know, that is part of the political thing, right?
Well, I'm not being paid to be in politics.
No one's paid to be in politics, are they?
Sure,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, they are. Vince Lombardi said, winning isn't everything, but wanting to win is.
Yes. You know, one of my best friends says that on Monday morning, the question is it a W or an L? I mean, no matter how good the games were, somebody won and somebody lost.
And I thought it was a great game. I listened to it. We're broadcasting the game on Ko'oi, so I was listening in the car because I don't like this. I really don't like to sit home on a Sunday and watch TV. I really don't. To me, Sunday's a day to get out in nature, to get my batteries recharged, and I don't want to sit in front of a TV screen when it's beautiful outside. So I'm glad I can listen to it in the car when
Guilty as charged because I did watch. Although I did watch a couple games on my TV at my apartment, where I do have a beautiful view of the harbor. But after the games were over, I took a drive to the west side, which was gorgeous.
Yeah, it was absolutely beautiful. And speaking of, well, actually, this would be the south side. Today we're going to give, I love some of the people on Maui that I've been able to kind of be on their team with, and one of the people whose teams I've been involved in is the Four Seasons. And I have to say, the way they do their stuff there, I mean, talking about up in the game, these people down there, Mark Simon and the folks down there, just create things as fun and as over the top and as great as they can without limitations. Their concept is, we're not going to be careful, we're not going to be really cautious the way we do something, we're going to make something as good as we can make it, and if we make it as good as we can make it, people will come. And they've been very, very successful with that. So this Friday they're doing a brouhaha event. And it's going to be on Friday evening at 6 till 9 on their ocean front lawn. And they've got 14 of the most unusual and really great beers and 14 food stations with the most amazing food from Chef Roger Stetler. And we're going to give away two tickets to go to this event. It's $89 and plus tax and stuff, so it would be about $100 value per ticket, so it's a $200 value. And we're getting names to register, and we'll pick a winner on Wednesday morning. So here's the game people want to play. Do they want to register to get a pair of tickets to go to Brouhaha?
So how do they register, Cindy?
Well, they could call right now, and you know, we could talk to them, and then Gary could take the name, and it's as simple as calling into 242-7800, which is the number here. 242-7800. And when you call, we'll put you on there, talk to you a bit, and then we'll put your name in the hopper to see if you get drawn. Aloha.
Aloha.
Good morning. Hi, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
You're calling from outer space. We have a big, oh, there, you turned it down. A bit of an echo in your voice.
I'll turn it down.
thank you. Who's this?
My name is Shaitanya.
Oh, Shay? Hi, Shaitanya.
Shaitanya.
Hi.
That's a nice name, Shaitanya. What does that mean?
Oh, it means life force.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. In what language?
Sanskrit. It's one of the names of God from Navadvip, India.
Wow, beautiful. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
So, what's your game? What game do you like to play?
Ah, well, the game of life, like you said, dear. Yes, game of life, and you know, survival of all human beings. And, you know, I think it's very, very important that we, you know, we stand up for our survival, mm-hmm. you know, in life. You know, I seem to do it. I mean, I'm a woman, but I do seem to do it like a man, you know. I mean, my father and mother made me, so, you know, all glories to male and female. Mm-hmm. However, you know, we all have that survival spirit in us. And, you know, when it's being played with by political forces around the planet, it's a little scary, you know. And mm-hmm. I'm not a fearful person, but I think, you know, you give somebody an opportunity, you know, and they have a power, and money and power corrupts, you know, and mm-hmm. You know, and they get lost in the maze of power and money, and so that's what scares me, because mm-hmm. I have had wealth before, and I understand that money and power can corrupt, and so I have surrendered my wealth to a degree where I live very simply for that reason, because I don't like the energy that comes out of the human being when I experience that force of power and money.
Wow.
But that's a personal choice.
No, Shatanya, me too, by the way, as far as playing the money game as well as the career game. Although, what you said is true, that power and money can corrupt. At the same time, it's allowing me to finance this radio show, which I think is a good thing and does help the world. And in fact, we're hoping to show the world a different type of society as far as Mauitopia that hopefully can give them an alternative to all this craziness that's going on right now around the world. Yeah. In fact, it's not as crazy as, say, it was in World War II, but, you know, I have friends that think that if we do an attack on Syria, we could end up with starting World War III.
Yes, I think so too.
Well, I do think that absolute power can corrupt absolutely, and this interesting thing you said is about power and money, and what came to me, and what you said is so beautiful, but there's power that comes from greed, there's power that comes from corruption, but then there is, you sound like a beautiful soul who's has a lot of integrity. And if you it seems like you've gone to your inner self power and your connection to God, or the life force power. And that power, I think, is over-trumping
authentic
power.
And I believe you two understand that. This is why I called, you know, and I know Mauitopia, the people that live here, I'm an artist, so I write Mama Maui, you know, I paint Mama Maui in the mountains, because, you know, people are called to the islands, and people are called, like you, like both of you, and like myself, we're all called to do our service, and like you say, the more you go inward and find the core of our true selves, then we can rise, you know, as free as we can be from all the greed, like you say, and money and power, to represent, or at least to hug and love each other through hard times, if that's all we can do.
Shatanya, are you involved with a magazine called Mama Maui?
No.
Oh, okay. There's a paper called Mama Maui or Maui Mama.
Well, how
no,
did
the
I
paper's
that
Maui
one?
Mama. Yeah, but you know, I have a question, because this is my crisis that I'm thinking of, because I supported Obama, I voted for him. When I try to think of the situation, which really shocked me that he came out for this, and I know there's a lot of pressure about it, and he had already made that statement that would be the red line. So since he made that statement, now he's got to stand behind it for his thing. But I'm trying to picture what he's thinking, because this really wasn't when I tried to identify with him, I did not see this as his persona. So what is your take on what the situation Obama's in?
Thank you for asking me. I have been in great meditation about the situation myself. And excuse me, airwaves, but I just feel like he's wicked. Mm. Everybody can take it from there, but I feel like he's pulled the wool over our eyes, as far as being a good person, and that he's just not a good person. He's not one of the lovers and of life, you know. I think he's a sociopath, really.
Wow.
Do you think the powers
money and power have him, you know? I don't know how his wife and children tolerate him, but I, you know, because it doesn't make any sense how he can do what he's thinking to, you know, devastate our entire country and other innocent women and children and men around the planet, and you know.
But like I said, there's people on both sides of that debate in the United States, mm-hmm. including among my friends here on Maui. Mm-hmm. You know, one group of people think it's okay what he's about to do, that if you don't stop a guy like a Hitler early, that you're going to cause lots more suffering later on. Mm-hmm. And other people think, hey, don't mm-hmm. go doing, you know. Mm-hmm. For example, violence in general, I think, is a game that I personally and Mauitopia does not want to play.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't either. That's my point right there, yeah.
We want to use things like NVC, nonviolent communication, and talk things out.
Absolutely. Obama's been pretty good at that so far. But
now he's kind of woken up to a situation that I don't know if he didn't expect, but it's...
No, I mean, you know, he's accusing people of killing other people, and then he wants to go and kill some more. So that's when I drew the line. Mm-hmm. I mean, talk about red lines.
You have a red line.
You know, yeah. You know, I drew the line with, you know, let's go take... I mean, how barbaric are guns and bombs? Come on.
I agree.
I mean... You know, even back in the Odin days, they used samurai swords, you know, so to speak. You know, I mean,
not sure that's
that
better.
Has, you know, but that we have evolved from that point.
Well, not all. That's a problem. All the planet hasn't, and that's going to always be the rub. That's going to always be the challenge we have on this planet. There's always going to be something.
Not always.
Well, for a while.
Sister, you said it in the beginning of the show. We all come from the same atom.
Yeah, we do.
Right.
Okay. So we all have all evolved.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if your consciousness is nutty, you know, but you know what? We've all evolved anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And the powers that be need to represent the evolutionary position of mankind.
So then we would need to have an evolutionary solution to the ones that aren't as evolved.
Just impeach him and get some new people in there. I mean, you know,
they could do the same. You know, there's a great Who song, We Won't Get Fooled Again. Time after time after time, every single person we think, including the ones that we thought were, you know, going to save in Egypt and the new powers came in by a democratic vote, without time after time, the people who get into power, like you say, are corrupted absolutely. So I wouldn't know if that would be the solution.
And part of it is yielding, and this is really hard for me, for example, to the tides of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe the world's not ready for a non-violent type of interaction.
Yes, we are. Yes, the world is. I disagree. We are aware. Everybody is aware that they have their flesh and blood. They have their parents. They have their kids. They come from somewhere. Unless there's aliens here, and I don't understand that part, but that's okay, too, as long as they're not violent people, you know,
so
or
we
whatever.
We have to help them up-level their game, because unfortunately for all of history, people have played the violence game,
mm-hmm.
and they're still playing it, which is why the world, let's say, is ready for having its game up-leveled, but it's not quite there at this point, even though I agree that the...
Oh, we could put them all on the football field. Let's put Syria on one side of the team, and we'll put the United States on the other, and we'll let them fight it out on the football field.
We're from Mauitopia here. You know, we're from America. America's always been land of the free and home of the brave, okay? The brave people are standing up. Yes, they are, but other cultures are... Very, very different. I mean, the only culture that the American people have had for the last 200 years is apple pie, the Bible, and baseball games. Come on, let's face it. We don't have much other culture besides, you know, it starting in the 70s, sex and drugs and rock and roll. And so that's our culture, you know. But so we've just kind of been floating through this maze of no culture because we're a hodgepodge of everybody, really.
Which I like the term salad bowl. I like that better than melting pot.
Good.
And what, and Shatanya, thank you so much for your call, and we're about to take our halfway break.
Oh, let Gary take your name and number so we can enter you in that chance to go to the Brouhaha event at Four Seasons this Friday. So we're going to pick a winner Wednesday. So you'll give Gary, our engineer here, your telephone number and name, which we aren't going to put out over there. So we'll take that, and we really appreciate you calling. It's been an interesting conversation.
I wanted to make a closing comment about Shatanya's comment, which is that whether you like it or not, the United States, and one of the reasons I'm very proud of it, is we have created the most powerful economic country on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I don't necessarily agree we don't have any culture, but if nothing else, the culture we've contributed is economic power.
Yeah, but look at Rome and look at England when it was
every single
culture has its peak and its day, and I really do feel that we may have passed our peak already, and people don't want to hear that because they have this identity that we are the most powerful. But there was a powerful day for England. There was a powerful day for Rome. Every culture, Greek had its day, but every culture is cyclical.
Come and gone.
And I really don't think we're at the top of our peak of power anymore. And I think we need to not have to always try to identify as we're the most powerful country in the world, because I think that's part of the problem.
That's why we're creating Maritopia.
Yeah.
To give people an alternative game to play.
We're going to give other people a chance to win tickets to Brouhaha and to get registered. And then after I guess we're going to hear that wonderful song?
Yeah.
Lord, God in the spirit.
We'll All Be Free. That's a song by Patricia Watson off the Marry Man CD that I
heard that one. I was
the executive producer of that CD 20 years ago.
Yeah, and Patricia Watson was here so long, and now she's like in Japan, or she's traveling the world playing.
Yeah, she's working on a cruise ship, a Japanese cruise ship, luxury cruise ship. And I met her, actually, in Guam recently.
Really? How great. Well, you know, when we were listening, I was mentioning that, you know, the Olympics, of course, was designed to get people together, actually to try to unite the world through sports, and it seemed to be pretty good. And I really, you know, I do think that they're through sports and the game of sports, that they're, if you took your aggressions out that way and compete that way, the idea was like, okay, that's all fine. We bring ourselves together. Most of the time we'll see how it is in Russia when they do it, because they have that statement they've issued against gay people, which is going to create a big problem for some of the people who are gay in the Olympics with them saying that. So I have a great Yogi Berra quote. In theory, there's no difference between theory and practice. In practice, there is.
Oh.
Like that?
I like it. I used to claim when I was growing up in Israel that if people would be like on a football field or a soccer field, right across from each other, there's no way they could kill each other. I mean, especially if they were there with their families. You would see
well, their families might be, I don't know.
I mean, these are real people,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And why do you want to kill them? You know, that's a game that we need to up-level our play. It looks like we have another call.
Aloha.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey,
who's this?
Is there a peace vigil against invading Syria taking place on Maui?
I haven't heard of any.
I'm sorry, I didn't get your name.
My name is Eric.
Oh, hi, Eric.
You know, we usually hear about things like that, and I kind of keep up on Facebook, and I haven't heard anything about a peace vigil. Have you, Ori?
No.
No, I mean, you know, the thing is, I guess you could, we'll put it out there. If anyone's heard, I mean, the radio is a great way to find out answers, just like Facebook, right? So if anyone's heard of a peace vigil, otherwise, Eric, you know what they say. If you think of an idea, you have to do it. So if there isn't, that you... It's your Kuliana. If it isn't being done, then maybe it's your idea and you've got to do it.
I still feel guilty.
You feel guilty about what?
About being raised a Catholic and being guilt-baited my whole life.
Well, that
me
is
me too,
Catholic.
By the way.
Yeah,
I grew up Jewish. And
I know. I grew up white, and I'm guilty because I lived on Beverly Hills. I mean, we're all guilty, right? I mean, it's a big one to
right.
hear.
Thank
it's,
you.
Know, there's a lot of white men. There's a lot of guilt.
What's that book, Love is Letting Go of Guilt?
Is it? I like
by
that.
By Jampolsky.
I love Jampolsky's work.
I have his
he
book.
Does the forgiveness thing, too. Yeah, well, we forgive you for being guilty, and so you can forgive yourself, and then we'll let's see that just floating away, okay?
Thank you. I appreciate it. And, yes, we're great this morning.
Well, I appreciate you listening. Do you want to get registered to win two tickets to go to the Four Seasons Brouhaha event this Friday?
How do I register?
We'll just give you the engineer gear here, the magic man who will put your name in there, and then we'll get you registered, and we'll pick a winner on Wednesday. And maybe without, if you promise not to feel guilty if you win, maybe
okay.
you'll, okay, maybe you'll win. Okay? Thanks for calling. Gary will take care of you.
Thanks for the call, Eric.
That's funny. Here's another great Yogi Berra quote. Baseball is 90% mental, and the other half is physical.
That's true, and certainly games like golf, they say, is a mind game.
But you get them the other half, 90% mental, and the other half
is
physical.
Yeah.
He was great. I love Yogi Berra. And you know, it's interesting because there are some of these, I mean, in Zen, there's Phil Jackson was one of the great basketball
coaches. Yes.
And he was a Zen practitioner. Hmm. In fact, I went to the Sonoma Mountain Zen Center, and he gave a lot of money. He went up there and talked and raised lots and lots of money for the Zen Center there. And he put his Zen philosophy into making the Lakers a great, great team. Now, so, I mean, here's taking it, upping the game. So I love that term, upping the game.
Up-level the game, yeah.
He upped the game because he used Zen instead of just brute force, he actually put his Zen principles to work with the basketball team.
I'm glad you... What was the name of the coach again?
Phil Jackson.
Phil Jackson, right, because I was trying to think after we talked yesterday about the name of the coach, and I was thinking of John Wooden. Actually, you Googled it. Isn't Google wonderful? You don't have to remember anything. You can just Google it.
And I never clear my cookie, so it knows everything I'm thinking and questioning as well. So, but no, you can up the game, and in golf, many great golfers actually use Zen. Because it's actually golf is a very Zen-like game. Talk about a peaceful game. Mm. I mean, there's a pretty peaceful game, right?
Definitely.
You're not killing anything. you're not trying to win anything, but it's kind of a self thing where, you know,
it's against yourself mostly.
It's against yourself and you're a little bit of your teammates and everything. So, I mean, there are games that kind of up-level games, right?
Yes. Hopefully we can all play only those games in the future. Hopefully the whole world will up-level its game that, again, all of us may have been brought up to play some of these games that really are not the games that serve us best right now.
Well, a wonderful musician, Peter Gabriel, wrote a song, Games Without Frontiers, War Without Tears. And unfortunately what happened is when we got more into technology, then all of a sudden it was up to the drones and it's up to missiles, and it's up to satellites, Star Wars.
It was also the first picture we got from outer space. It was the first time where people saw, you know what? There are no boundaries on this planet.
Yeah.
There are rivers and mountains, but natural things, but you could call those boundaries, but there aren't boundaries.
Like so many astronauts had spiritual experiences when they went up there. When they went to the moon, the astronauts on the moon looked back at the Earth and they said it was life-changing.
I wanted to be an astronaut, by the way. By the way, one item on my bucket list I've checked off. I decide after watching a documentary on Mount Everest that I no longer wish to climb Mount Everest.
Oh, good. I mean, as many people don't know, Ori, I mean, I think you're amazing because you have multiple sclerosis, right?
Correct.
And here you were a football player and you're very active and it doesn't stop you in the least. You have a walker and you do what you want to do and it's got to be more challenging. You obviously didn't have multiple sclerosis when you were playing football.
I did not.
So you had that.
Or when I won the state championship in tennis.
Wow, you won the state championship in tennis. Where? Which
in
state?
State of Michigan. Is
in Michigan?
Player. Yeah.
Wow, I did not know that.
And that was a lot of fun as a game.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Tennis is an interesting game, right? Because it's just one-on-one.
Yeah, although it was two-on-two in the games I played. But when I got to Stanford, I was a 10th person to not make the tennis team.
Wow.
A lot of good players go to Stanford.
So you played a lot of those games. And did you find it was more mental than it was physical?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. In fact, I believe I would have been good enough to become a professional tennis player had I had a better backhand.
Mm-hmm.
Friends of mine used to call my backhand the lawnmower backhand.
Mm-hmm. So did you try to psych, and I love this term too, psych yourself up. Did you try to psych yourself up before you, and what did you do to psych yourself up to win a game?
Just to try to get excited about winning, and it's about winning and losing.
I've heard some football teams are now doing visualizations.
I love that.
Now you watch the Olympics and these people who are, I mean, literally I've heard them announce it when they get to the skiing parts and they say, they show people and they're visualizing what they're going to be doing when they do their run, they're visualizing it.
Wow, that's powerful. I was going to share that when I was at Stanford, one time I was playing on a tennis court and the guys next to me were just killing the ball. I'm like, what is going on? It's like really powerful. I just took a look and it was John McEnroe playing with his brother Pat McEnroe.
Oh, not.
Yeah.
That must have been something to see.
It was just, I stopped playing and I just watched.
Can you imagine? No, there's a talk about a force of energy.
Yeah.
I mean, when you see a good game like that, it's like, whew, there's a force going on of energy.
And that's when I decided that I would never get to that level, unfortunately, as far as playing tennis.
And surfing, you know, I mean, what a peaceful, I mean, you're not, unless you're knocking the wave or taking someone's place in the wave, which happens too much now, but surfing's a pretty one-on-one. It's you and nature. It's
you and the ocean.
Wave.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're playing with the ocean, right?
Right.
It's a very wonderful up-in-the-game thing.
I ran out of material.
Oh, okay, well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take a call from someone who would like to. This is, again, I love the game the Four Seasons play. Four Seasons Maui, wonderful people. I mean, they've had employees there 20 years, but they're putting on the Brouhaha event this Friday on the Oceanfront Lawn. They have 14 different brews, a lot from Maui Brewing Company, but some I've never heard. They even have a chocolate ale and these unusual, very unusual chocolate. and they got 14 stations of great food. So do we have someone on the phone? Hello?
Oh, yeah. Hi, guys.
Hi, who's this?
This is Antonio calling.
Hi, Antonio. How are you today? We're getting to know you, Antonio.
Pardon?
We're getting to know you.
Oh, of course. You know, I heard the other caller call in and said he felt guilty.
Uh-huh.
So I wanted to call in and say that I actually have felt oppressed for quite a few years now.
By who?
Well, you know, they have all these special interest groups out there, and, you know, I kind of been, like, the women's rights activist, and the civil rights activist, and the Jewish community, and, you know, I'm not Jewish. I'm a Caucasian, so I'm not Negro. I'm actually was raised Catholic, you know, and by the lesbian and gay community, because I'm a heterosexual.
So do you think your Catholic views are impressing upon you some of these feelings?
That's an interesting question. But the point is that with all this media bombardment of all this civil rights this, gay and lesbian community this, the Jewish plight this, you know, I feel like I've been so oppressed by all this stuff.
Well, maybe you're experiencing exactly what they felt for a long time. So now they're coming out and speaking just like you're coming out and speaking.
But how is that fair to me? It's not fair to me. I was born in 1968.
But here you are. You're expressing it. So
the stuff that they're crying about is so 1940s. It's from so long ago, it's like me crying about something that happened to me when I was a little child.
Yeah.
It's like
not
childish.
To them.
Yeah.
It's childish. But if you look at it in that perspective, it's like childish. And for me to be subjected to all that for so many years, it's like I've had enough.
Yeah, well, maybe that's exactly what it is. You were feeling oppressed. You're feeling oppressed, so now you're taking it out on them.
Let it go.
You know, talking about the games, too, you know, I grew up being a surfer, you know, and there were so many people who would, and I was playing a fair game. You know, I was really trying to work, be a solid athlete, talking about athletes and stuff, or he was saying he played tennis. I surfed. And, you know, I was trying to work really hard on my physique and everything. And then while I'm out there in the water, these cheaters come in and they're selling all the girls marijuana or manipulating them with illegal money. You know, so there's these cheaters, and I have a hunch it's the reggae community or, you know, the Jewish community, the people who didn't surf were dealing these illegal drugs, and they're cheating at the game.
Yeah, there's always going to be that. Babe Ruth did a great quote, and then we got to go because another call is coming in. Every strike brings me closer to the next home run. So thanks for calling, Antonio.
Thanks, Antonio.
And if someone else would like to go to Brouhaha this Friday at 6 o'clock on the Oceanfront Lawn with 14 wonderful ales and some wonderful food.
Yeah, what kind of food are they going to have?
Oh, they have, even, this is funny, they're going to have a vegetarian, because I'm a vegetarian, right?
Oh,
they're
going to
have a vegetarian. No, I've been a vegetarian since I've been 15. And I'm now on my 28th day of a liquid juice cleanse as well, and I'm feeling great. But they're going to have also cheeseburgers, triple double cheeseburgers. They're going to have all kinds of great fish and salmon, and they're going to have, I don't have the whole list in front of me, Roger Stettler, the executive chef, is one of the most amazing chefs on the island. So he really tries to pair some of the beers with it's actually a pairing of beer with food. Now, we hear about pairing of wine.
Right.
We hear about pairing of wine with food all the time, but he actually pairs some of the dishes at the stations with the beer. So, and it's good. You should go.
It's Friday night.
It's Friday night at 6 o'clock. So you can call 242-7800 That's 242-7800. I think the lines are open now, right? If someone wants to call to get registered, this will be two tickets we give away on, we'll pick from all the names on Wednesday. So, yeah, it's 242-7800 if you wish to call.
Do you have another quote for us?
I do. This is from Michael Jordan, and I think it really is, you know Michael Jordan, right?
Of course.
I've missed
the basketball player.
Yes, I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot, and I missed. I've failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed.
Mm.
You have someone on the phone? Aloha.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Wonderful. I'd like to put my name in for football.
Oh, we can do that. What's your name?
Greg.
Hi, Greg. Is there a game you like to play?
Is there a game I like to play?
Yeah.
Not really.
All right. Well, you're past games. Have a beautiful day. And Gary, Engineer Gary, will take your name to put you in the hopper, and we'll pick a winner on Wednesday morning and call you if you won. But thank you so much for listening, Greg.
Appreciate it. Aloha.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool, you know. I mean, you know what? It takes a lot of courage to call in.
Definitely.
I mean, sometimes even, I work in radio, Ari, and I get afraid to call in sometimes. I want to call about something, and I think two or three times. Really, two or three times that before I even make a call. Even if it's something, you know, and usually it's not to win. So I can't win anything we're giving away. Because I'm not eligible to win.
You work here, yeah.
But I get nervous about calling in. And it's interesting to hear the callers. I listen to the mayor's show. So we have someone on the line there, Gary? Okay. One more call. And this is, wait. I like to play this game. Because there are people out there that never call a radio station. So this caller who calls in next can have never won anything before on our radio station. And if you call right now at 242-7800, and we'll get your name in the box to get registered and for the two tickets. It's actually a $200 value for the tickets to go to Brouhaha this
time. And you're going to do the drawing on Wednesday?
Wednesday morning on Jack Gis' show. We'll pick a winner. And you know what? The people on this game have a really good chance because we've only been doing this one for a week, so we only have a few names in the box.
Hmm.
Aloha.
Here's the call.
Aloha. Oh, turn your radio.
Hello, Hap Miller.
Hey, Hap, how are you? You've won before, haven't you?
Well, like to say, when you go to Las Vegas, you can't win unless you play the game, so.
You know, right? No, you play the game, don't you? Yeah, no.
The last time I won was the Roy Orbison concert.
I remember that. You were at the 4th of July celebration at the Queen Carmona Center. You were always out there, and you ran for mayor too, right?
I ran for mayor. It was fun. But competition's good, and Alan Orakawa won this time, and he's a good mayor, so I don't know if I'll run again, but we'll see what happens here.
Did it cost you a lot of money to run for mayor?
It cost a lot of money. I ran out of money pretty quick. I mean, it does cost a lot of money. That's what I learned. One thing I learned about running for anything costs money.
Right, and that's one of the things I object to personally is I want to take money out of the politics game. I would like that to be the case because I ran for mayor as well, Hap, and I do plan to run again, but I really would like it if, like the Big Island, they had a situation, a pilot program where they gave every candidate the same amount of money.
Really?
Yeah. And so it takes money out of the game, and therefore you don't end up beholden to any particular interest.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not suspecting somebody like Mayor Arakawa or any politician, but there is the possibility that somebody is doing something because they were given money.
Mm-hmm. Well, it certainly gives a thought and some consideration can be power. A consideration is a force, no doubt about it. But
that's a game I don't want to play.
It's a lot of hard work. I mean, you just got to get out there, forums and everything. It just
I agree. And become known.
Yeah, I think that's why a lot of people don't even try. I really do. I think, you know, I mean,
and then the other part is it's a kind of politics is a dirty business, kind of like people make fair or unfair attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it was a pretty fair race. Actually, I ran twice.
Well, but people actually can say things about you, what I think you're saying, right?
You know, I'm sorry to remind people of history, but I helped Governor Lingle's campaign back 10 years ago or something, and
yep.
people accused her of wanting to cancel Christmas if she won, since she was Jewish.
Wow.
Yeah, which...
Wow, yeah, that's it. And now you have to do that. Not only that, I mean, I hate to say this, but it's true. Not only do you have to have a lot of money, but if you have anything in your past, anything, anything, that it all could, yeah, it's going to all come out when you get to the bigger levels, higher levels. It will come out. And they, you know, tried to accuse, take the fact that they said, oh, Linda's a lesbian, and that was a whisper campaign. But if you have anything in your past, it will come out. And I'm afraid that this is why a lot of good people don't even try to get in office, because we all have some things in our past that maybe we wouldn't want spread out there. So I think it's very courageous to run for an office.
Well, thank you. And I'm trying to create Mauitopia. I feel a soul force, if you will, not a brute force, that is causing me to have the drive to want to run for politics and lead the creation of Mauitopia. Do we have another call, Gary?
No.
No, okay.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's been an interesting show. I think Hap has got Hap's information right. So I think we don't have any time to take any more calls for that. Maybe we only have about 3 or 4 minutes left. But I think let's just kind of let's take the game level that you feel and the game we play and how we play it. Let's just kind of reflect on it. So when you try to be your authentic self, how do you play the game? And how do you kind of observe and be that overview coach of how you're playing your game? Do you have, like, some part of you that kind of looks at what you're playing?
Yeah, I love the self-coaching. The first thing is to be aware of what you're doing. And for myself, at least, one of the emotions I deal with a lot is anger. And so one of the important things is to step back, breathe, and really look at, are you angry about the situation? Is it a righteous indignation, or is it just ego? So that's one of the drivers or powers that really helps my being in terms of propelling me to do something, to right action, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't have thought of you as an angry person.
Well, I've done a lot of therapy.
But you don't feel oppressed anymore. Or do you?
I do not feel oppressed.
Okay.
I do feel that we have an evolutionary challenge to help ourselves and all the rest of us. And as I've...
I think we're out of time.
And we're out of time. And so my name is Ori Copelman, and I want to really thank everybody who was able to listen to Creating Mauitopia this morning. And thank you so much,
thank
Cindy,
it's been
for
a pleasure.
Participating as the co-host.
It's been fun. Aloha.
Aloha.
I was drawn to a place in the sun, where the ocean and mountain and sky were one. It is part of a much higher plan, Maui land, where the upcountry flies to the sea, and the rainforest waterfalls shouts melodies, and the stars at night he touched my hand, Maui land.
Sound News Headlines, I'm Jack Gist from the Vishnu Real News Center. Now, police are seeking the public's help in identifying two men accused of the attempted sexual assault and kidnapping of a 20-year-old woman.